The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Very good.
Second week in a row, we have Aaron Pierce with an extensive background in landscaping, who is currently a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, listing and selling since 2014. Career change for you, and it's a good fit. You're doing very well.
It's great to be here today. It's great to be a realtor.
Yes. And we love the information you're giving us on landscaping, all the tips and the wonderful conversation we're having with you. So we're looking forward to another one this week. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where various real estate topics are reviewed. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab and see what's going on at the corners.
Thank you, Pat. Look us up on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. JRUDDY.com. Aaron Pierce, the plant doctor. That's what they used to call you, right?
I've been known by many names. That's probably one of the nicer ones.
The nicer ones. Okay. So your extensive background in landscaping. Oh, you know, some of the stats I pulled from NAR, National Association of Realtors, say the majority of Americans want to live amid nice landscaping. 91% of Americans believe it is important to live in close proximity to trees, grass, and nice landscaping.
I know a lot of people who it's completely the opposite.
Well,
they want to live in close proximity to concrete.
Yes. And so, right. That's exactly what my thoughts were. Wow. They don't live near us. Okay. So landscaping is pretty important, which is going to lead me into where I want to go with our discussion today. Does landscaping give a good return on investment?
Absolutely. From the time you pull up to a home, you're talking about perceived value. What does it look like? What does the neighborhood look like? Last week, we talked about the percentage of people that thought it was important that their neighbors had nice landscaping. And that's because if you're going to put money into your home and you want to enjoy it, you expect that your neighbors are going to do the same so that you're not living down to place or living next to places that are run down. So it's very important to people to at least have a nicely maintained yard, whether it's fully landscaped and has gardens, and you know that's up to each individual. But as long as the grass is well maintained and bushes aren't overgrown, I think everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they say the affluent established neighborhoods are tree lined in a lot of older areas throughout the United States, and we certainly live in one of those areas where there's a lot of
trees.
And you know, people don't always like trees, and I get that though. But the worst sound that I could ever hear is a chainsaw in my, you know, surroundings. And quite often we do hear that sound. People take down a lot of trees where we live because there are a lot of trees. And it doesn't always do well with pools.
Well, you've got pools. What most people don't think about is power lines. People plant trees. They're in front of stop signs. They're underneath power lines. And then PPL has to come out and trim them down. And they just don't look quite the same after you do the reverse mullet to them.
Get a big chunk of tree gone. It looks pretty bad.
Dig it right out of the center, all the way down the street.
Right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It can really help to, especially in an established neighborhood, because you do have older plantings. You know, as you said, a more affluent neighborhood, they tend to have a little bit more just placed in the lawn in general.
I noticed that when the trees come down in our neighborhood, yeah, there's a lot more sunlight, you know, that maybe comes through. But I'm also, it's a sound barrier. So I hear things 4 or 5 yards away that I never would hear before. You know, that those trees would offer a cushion in between.
Well, most likely you can see those neighbors now. Mm-hmm. When they're standing out of the deck in their bathroom waving to you.
Or in their bathroom window.
Yeah. Some of them I don't want to see.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, you know when landscaping's right. You know when it's wrong. Tell us some of the mistakes people can make that might, you know, they think they might be doing a good thing, but sometimes...
Well, that's it. In the area, you've got a lot of old, big trees. Sometimes they do become diseased, so it's necessary for them to be taken out. You've got limbs that grow towards the house, different things like that. So sometimes they do need to come down, and other times they were just planted in the wrong spot. You have to think about size. Size matters.
That's
Pat.
Right.
The right area. If it gets too big for the area, it's going to be hanging out onto the lawn, and you're going to constantly trim it back, and then it's going to look bare. Hanging over the house, growing through the deck.
That's right. Bringing bugs onto the house, because the bugs fall from the trees onto the house.
That's it. So check your size. See how big a plant is going to be. Make sure it's planted in the right area. And that'll help to keep you from having to pull it out later on.
Well, we had a situation where we had a rental property. We had a tree. We didn't realize it was
diseased
and dying. And it fell down. But moments before it fell down, came down crashing into the yard. It thankfully didn't hurt anyone, hit the house, hit a car, nothing like that. But moments before, the tenant who was outside sunbathing. Under, like, somewhere around where the tree was. So that could have been a disaster. So obviously, you know, making sure, we had no idea.
Right. There's a big old oak tree, and it was there, had to be there for 100 years. And when this limb fell down, it had to be 8 inches across, 8-inch diameter. It fell down. It was absolutely loaded with thousands and thousands of black ants. So the ants had eaten the tree from the inside out, and we actually had to take down the whole tree. It was that bad. When the guy came and looked at it, he said, this has got to go.
It's sometimes like that. You have no warning signs beforehand.
No. I mean, I'm not a tree doctor. I couldn't look at it and know that it was in bad shape. It looked okay to me.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, knowing what's on your property, obviously, is a good start. But taking down, because it is a safety problem at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, what are some landscaping do's and don'ts? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah. Well, we just talked about size, so that's important. So planning out where you're going to put it is a big thing. And then barrier-wise, you know, people do all sorts of things to kind of define that space between the grass and the mulch bed. And so you want to define those beds, and you can use many different ways. Some people get that cheap plastic edging that they hit in there, and it does keep the grass from growing through it, but it's not the best thing you can use. Some people overlook a simple statement. You could even get block. You know, your local stone yard or even some of your garden centers will carry pallets of stone block and get them 4 or 6 inches across, and you could just do a nice lining like that. Now, that will bring perceived value up immediately over the cheap plastic. It costs you a few more dollars, but then also it's just easier to maintain. You're not going to run over that with the lawnmower versus the plastic, and then the plastic is going to shift over the winter, the ice, so on and so forth.
Okay, good. Good advice. What other things can we do? Do's and don'ts. I mean, obviously, last show you talked about putting too many things too close together.
Too right. close together, yeah. And pay attention to the sun. As you said, you know, you may think your yard gets a lot of sun, but it might have an old oak tree that covers the bed that you're going to plant 90% of the day. So if you're going to get some things that are blooming and they look beautiful, but they take full sun, they may not be as blooming and beautiful at your house.
Right, we do that when we go to the garden center. There, the guy constantly asks us, well, how much sun do you have? How long do you have the sun? And then, like you were saying, we talked during one of the breaks about watering some of the plants. Remember we were talking about that?
Yeah, gutter placement. You got to make sure that if you're going to have rain that's going to hit that spot, then you can plan accordingly and then only have to water it when it's dry. But if it is in a sheltered area of your house, And if you get that 45-degree angle between an overhang and the garage wall, you might have a dry area. So watering that, especially, even though it rained, you got to check those areas. People ask me all the time, why is this area, I can never get anything to grow there? That's because it's dry. You never get any water there. On the same token, you can get too much planted in an area. So not just about size, but how many things did you put in there? Even if you plan the right size, so when it's full grown in a few years and everything is touching and you can't even see that there's a mulch bed there or the side of the house, you know, that's something you want to think about too. Because if you've got, especially a smaller house, and you've got those old shrubs, those big shrubs that are huge, you know how it looks.
Yeah,
you,
I don't like it.
You can't
like
even, it. You don't even focus in on the house. So when you're talking about curb appeal, you got to make sure that you have enough that not always less is more per se, but then, you know, especially a new homeowner, when they're walking in and they're looking at the amount of work that they're going to have to do to maintain it. If they're a novice gardener and you have, you know, Victorian gardens from front to back, that's something to think about.
Safety, too. I remember we had the policeman on years ago, and he was saying people have these big bushes in front of their house and in front of their windows. And they said if somebody goes to climb in the window, you can't even see them from the street. So sometimes these bushes are just out of control that we see.
Well, in this area, we've got a lot of older homes with that old standard yews, hollies, rhododendrons.
Absolutely.
That's it. You drive down the street, that's all you're going to see. So it also helps to freshen up, too. Talking about updating, you know, you could have the most beautiful kitchen and bath in the world inside. When people drive past and they just see those same old plants out there cut the same way, you're losing that
curb appeal.
So too much can be just as bad, if not worse, than too little or none at all.
Well, you got to think about cleaning, too. If you've got plants packed in there, when they lose those leaves, how much clean out do you have to do? Is it trapped underneath the bushes? You know, can you get to it? Are you just going to have a mold and fungus-filled bed down there?
Mm-hmm. Things that you don't see, that you don't often think about, are lurking.
And then what else do you have hiding down in there, too? So it's nice to be able to get around. And also, you know, the inspectors will tell you when you have plants growing up against the side of the house, because that encourages, you know, mold and issues with the home itself.
And little critters.
And little insects.
Absolutely.
They love it. They
yeah.
love that. That's a gateway into the house.
It's a bridge. It walks you right in.
Right in.
Okay, so let's not make it easy for them. Aaron Pierce, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, who has a vast knowledge and understanding of landscaping. How does someone get in touch with you?
Well, I'm often at the office there with you, Jackie, or I'm out running on the streets from house to house. So you can get me on my cell, 570-507-0566, or you can email me easily, aaron@jruddy.com. That's aaron@jruddy.com.
Pat?
Yes. We have a 4-bedroom home with a lot of potential at 2918 Marvine Avenue in Scranton for only $39,000. This home needs some TLC, but it is a good deal at this price. The boiler is only 2 years old, and the taxes are only $1,250 a year. It sits on a large 125-foot deep lot, and the yard is fenced in. With some updating, this home could be very nice. That's a 4-bedroom home at 2918 Marvine Avenue in Scranton for only $39,000, and that's listed by Amanda Rudis of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors MLS statistics for the last 30 days for single-family residential homes in all areas that we serve. The median list price is $149,900 year-to-date. The median sales price is $118,000. Median days on market has gone down almost 35%. It's down to 63 days, median days on market. The absorption rate is down also 28%, down to 7 months. And active listings year to date is down 13%. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back.
Mom, can I please go down the street to say goodbye to Bobby before he moves?
Son, I can't even get up these steps. I need to sell this house.
Hon, I know things are tight, but I think we need a bigger house.
Does this sound familiar?
Life constantly changes, and so can your living situation. The home that was the perfect fit for you years ago just doesn't work anymore. The award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have helped many people just like you throughout northeastern Pennsylvania for almost a half century. With their extensive knowledge of the market and how to sell and buy a home, the dedicated team of realtors at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have successfully assisted and guided people into a new chapter in their lives. Let us help you. Visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We're back with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Yes, interesting stuff. I got to know about the landscaping.
And Aaron Pierce, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Hello.
Hi.
Second week in a row, you're giving us some really good landscaping tips. And in the on the first half of the show, we spent some time on easy landscaping projects. Keep it simple. We don't need a lot of money. We don't need a lot of time. We don't need a lot of skill. You know, sometimes I think people shy away from landscaping because they think that they need a lot of skill, time, and money.
That's not necessarily true. Best thing you need, planning. Before you just walk in there and throw some things out, it doesn't matter what you're going to do to your home. I've seen people who have not planned in their home, and there's rooms in odd places, and bathroom layouts kind of funky.
And tables and chairs and places they shouldn't be.
Yes.
Yes. So, all kinds of strange
all
things.
All kinds of strange things. So just a little bit of forethought and planning before you really launch into it. What is your goal? What do you need to happen to the house? Are you trying to do a small bed? Are you trying to do an accent focal area? Are you going to do a, you know, a nice tree or a fountain, surround it with some brick and some mulch and put a few flowering things in there? Do you want something simple? You want to go full tilt and do full gardens?
No.
And, you know, that's, I figured your answer was that.
No. Too much work. No.
Well, for most people, life is busy. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to be doing. We have a lot of sports and camps and school activities that keep us on the go. People don't want to spend every waking hour in a garden.
But certain people like it. They find it relaxing. I mean, my dad used to love to go out into the garden and just sit there and do all the things he had to do. I mean, there came a point where it was overwhelming and he couldn't do it anymore. But some people like to do that.
And he got awards, too.
Yeah.
That's the Garden Club Awards.
Yeah, that's not me.
No.
Hobby gardening is usually left to somebody with a little bit more time. Of course, some people who are busy and they may not have as much going on, you know, their personal lives, and they do. They just want to kind of space out and go zen garden it up.
That way they're out of the house and they don't have to deal with whoever's in the house.
That's it. You know, leave your cell phone in the house, go outside.
That's right. She can't yell at you when you're out there, right? Or maybe she can out the window. I don't know.
Curb appeal ideas to make you the star of the neighborhood. So we talked in the first half of the show about planning placement, size matters. And, you know, add some color, trim shrubs, and resod some bare spots we talked about last week. What other things can we do?
Simplicity. Don't get too excited when you go in there and you see things blooming and you grab a bunch of things. Think of a nice, orderly, simple layout. And then in the next year, if you want to add a few more items, that's fine. But definitely, you know, don't go full tilt. You're not making a garden out of it unless you already know what you're doing.
Well, what if I wanted to grow some things to eat, like certain, like say I like my own garlic, or I wanted to grow some strawberries. Not that I know how to do any of this stuff. How much land do you need to do stuff like that?
That depends on how much you're going to do. Now, it is very nice to have a garden out there. Yeah, everybody wants to do from farm to table. It does taste fresher when you do it from backyard. You bring it right in, cut it up, and throw it in whatever you're cooking. So I've done it. I recommend it. You got to have the time. But that it depends on how ambitious you want to be and what kind of garden you're going to do. Some people do container gardening. Would you do some nice, lovely pots, and you can put some tomatoes in there as long as the pot is large enough to sustain whatever you're planting in it. That's actually one of the newer ideas, too, is mixing in edible plants with flowering plants. Most people are thinking in this area you've either got a flower bed or you've got a garden where you can mix it up. You can put some things in there that are going to be edible, that are next to beautiful things.
Because I'm friends with a guy on Facebook, and he's this big, burly guy, and he's a real he-man, and he's in the garden, and he's growing all of the stuff, and he's so proud. He's got garlic growing. He's got big tomatoes. He's really proud of all that stuff.
Well, that's it. So yeah, if you're going to do a larger garden, some people do it right in the soil. You just mark it off and do it there. Some people raise it up a little bit, which will give you a little bit more curb appeal, even though you're most likely in the backyard, because you'll have something that just kind of defines the space a little bit better. Raise it up. You can put all sorts of soil amendments, get a good start to it, and decide how big you want to go. Again, how ambitious are you for your first time? Do you want to start off with a 20 by 20 garden that you have to maintain? No. Start off smaller so you can get used to the needs of the plants. But if you're going to go and decide what space you want, edible things need sun. So you can't plant it under a big tree. You got to find a spot where they're going to hit sun most of the day.
And, you know, but placement of this garden matters too. So the space that I may have for this garden might not be the one that's the most appropriate because of the sunlight.
Right, right. Aesthetically, you may not want to put your big, beautiful garden right next to your patio because you're cutting off the rest of the yard. That might be the only sun you have. So then we got to think about pruning trees or how far are we going to go with
it? Right, right. Yes.
And how would I prepare the soil to do this? Do I need certain fertilizers or what's the process?
If you've never grown a garden, Pat, I know your yard
has
been
there. No, I have
never grown a garden. Your house has been there for, many years and nobody's done anything to that soil. So you want to do what they call soil amendments. You're going to want to bring in something to add to that soil, to give it life. You know, if your grass is barely making it and you want to grow a tomato, I'm not so sure. You got to bring in some stuff to lighten it up.
You got to break it up.
You got to break it up. You have to work it in. You got to get a tiller. You got to get out there for an afternoon and put some good stuff in there, till it up. And then once you get your bed defined and you start doing vegetables, then you can do a fertilizer.
Okay.
Work that right into the soil before you start planting. And then you'll make sure you got a good base for everything. And then you got to water it.
Now, he's selling himself short because we used to tomato plants, and they were the best tomatoes. I can't eat a store-bought tomato to this day because of the tomatoes that we would grow. They were wonderful.
Yeah, and then I asked the person at the garden center because we were having problems with them, and they said, you need to put lime in the bottom of them before you grow it. And we did that, and they turned out all right. But they're a pain in the butt.
This region, we have a pH balance to the soil that tends to be acidic anyway, and the tomato plants don't like that. So you got to use lime to balance that pH out. And you can put that right in when you're doing everything. If you're putting the soil amendments in there and you're adding things, you spread the lime right out there. Lime is also good for grass. As you're moving into the fall, go ahead and lime it up.
I had no idea. I have a big bag of lime in the garage.
So sprinkle it all over your lawn?
You want to use a spreader just for an even coverage. You can either get lime powdered or you can get it in pellets. I like to use the pellets. It's easier. It's not as instantaneous. I mean, it dissolves pretty quickly anyway. But if you get a gust of wind, you don't have to worry about powdered lime blowing everywhere. That's why I go with it.
It's a cloud of lime.
Just run. As you're pouring it into the spreader and a breeze hits you and your neighbor's house is suddenly white. But yes.
All right, so now, approaching the fall, is the time to spread the lime?
Yes, you can do it spring and fall. And again, we're going to be prepping the yard to, go to bed for the winter to hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
So as the coming month is approaching, we're going to be, use lime. You can do your last round of fertilizer if you're using your STEP program. And that's going to provide nutrients to the grass. It makes it a little hardier. And then you are going to start cutting it shorter at this point. We've been talking about leaving it long when the summer months are there because of water consumption. It's easier on the plant. But as we move into winter, you don't want a long coat of grass because it's going to lay over on top of itself. It's going to mat. Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to turn yellow. As soon as the snow starts melting, you're going to see more bald patches.
Ugh. When's the last time we should be cutting the grass?
It really depends on how the weather is. I mean, as you'll see it start to grow, start to slow down. If you're cutting it every week, and you can see the difference between when you cut it and when you don't cut it. As we slow down and the season starts getting cooler, you're going to see the grass is not growing as much. So, yeah, as you get into the
Halloween is probably the last
Halloween card, is kind of that mark. And
we've had snow on Halloween years past. So,
and then we've also had 75 degrees.
Yeah,
too.
There you go.
That's the problem. The Halloween I was trying to figure I prefer. It out. Okay. So, if it's 75 at Halloween, the beginning of November is going to be your last cut.
Yeah.
But if you're getting snow at Halloween, hopefully you're done
it's
already.
It's probably done already.
Just start cutting it lower because fall usually brings more rain, too. So it's not like it is in the summer and you're cutting it low in the summer and you're burning it out. You're going to have more moisture in the soil. So cutting the grass lower is going to be easier on it than in the middle of the summer. So if you start, if you think it's a good time, it's starting to cool down, go ahead, start cutting it lower and then see where the season takes you.
So we're talking about all these things to add to our lawns, fertilizer, lime, so on and so forth. Is there anything that we should avoid if we have animals, pets, dogs?
There are certain chemicals that you'll see on the back of the bottle. Follow the precautions. Some things are organic. Some things are more chemical-based. So you really just have to see what it is. And when you apply it, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's organic or not, keep the pets off it for a day or so at least until you've been able to water them well.
Good advice. Okay.
Are there certain plants I can plant around the house to keep bugs away?
There are certain plants that do keep some bugs away. You never get, you always get half, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Marigolds, those nice little orange and yellow plants, the annuals, they're known for keeping away some of the flying insects. Like a citronella plant. Citronella actually comes from a plant. It's part of the geranium family. Sometimes garden centers carry it, very rarely. But you can plant those kinds of things to keep some of the mosquitoes and some of the wasps and things away.
Oh, I'd love to plant that stuff. But you said there's a downside to those plants.
Well, they also, marigolds are known to attract slugs. So, but yummy. As long as it's kind of in the bed there, which one do you want to have? Do you want to have mosquitoes flying at you or the slugs down
there's
the ground?
There's no flying slugs around, so I'm not worried about them unless I'm sticking my hand in there. So
that's it.
Would be pretty good.
And what do we do to get rid of the slugs?
Is different things you can do. There are chemicals you can put down. Again, granular, you can form a barrier right in front of the marigolds so they're not coming in from the lawn into your beds.
Uh-huh.
Which there's also other perennial plants that slugs will eat too. If you've got hostas and different things lower to the ground where moisture builds up, that's what slugs like, so that's what they're attracted to. So you can use those chemicals. There's also the old world remedies. Pat was thinking about salt here, but I've heard about cups of beer that and it attracts the slugs. I mean, I have better things to do with my cups of beer. So
yeah, I think so. Now, let me ask you about something in the lawn. How do I know if I have grubs? I had skunks who loved my lawn, and they were very effective. But they made all these little holes all over the place.
That's how you know you've got grubs.
Yeah, I know. The skunks love my lawn.
They're not digging because they like to dig.
No, they're digging for the munchies.
Well, also bare spots, too. We've talked before about high spots and new grass and all sorts of different things. But if you have a lawn that's been doing great for a couple of years, it's all even, you don't have any problems, and suddenly you start to see some areas that are thinning out, becoming yellow, it's because grubs feed on the roots of the grass. So it's, even if you aren't certain you have grubs, go ahead and spread. They've got different chemicals to get rid of grubs. It's a granular type. Put it in the spreader, put it down, and that way you're assured that you won't get them.
And that stuff doesn't interfere with the fertilizers or anything?
No, it's all used interchangeably. As long as you're not using multiple fertilizers, you won't get a chemical burn.
Very good.
Aaron Pierce, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 2 weeks in a row. Fabulous discussion regarding landscaping. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Well, they can try me at the office there, or they can call me on my cell, 570-507-0566, and email me if you feel it's easier, aaron@jruddy.com. aaron@jruddy.com.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-bedroom home at 1427 West Locust Street in Scranton for only $139,000. This home has been completely renovated with plenty of natural woodwork and stained glass windows. It has covered front and rear porches, a large fenced-in yard with a garage. The kitchen and the baths are beautifully updated, and it has a first-floor laundry. That's an updated three-bedroom home at 1427 West Locust Street in Scranton for only $113,000, and that's listed by John Sokolowski of our office.
During the week, always call us 344-6724 or visit jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Always remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.